This is a Crestview Bible podcast. For more information, visit crestviewhutch.org.
I'm going to try to fuse all this together, thinking about all that we've done and thinking about all that Jesus is. Let me move to the light here so some of you can see my face a little better. And Tom read that passage in Psalm 22. The repetitiveness of that last song where God's good and he's never going to let us down, leaning into that. We know we have that kind of confidence because of the cross. And we have that kind of confidence specifically because of what Jesus did on the cross. So we are thinking about, this idea of Good Friday, thinking about Jesus, thinking about what he's done for sinners like us. And we call this Good Friday because it's not just a funeral service. So if you came in here thinking that we should sacrifice Christ all over again, he's a little glorious for that. Because when Jesus said, "It is finished," something in the fabric of reality changed because of what he had done. I mean, everything was undone. And tonight, I want to quickly point you to some perplexities that we feel around Good Friday. And I want to use the verse that Tom read, which I didn't tell any of the elders what I was preaching tonight, but Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is a springboard. And I guess it was occurring to me that Psalm 22, there's so many emotions that we feel coming into Good Friday. And the more and more I talk to people about all that's going on in their lives, there is deep emotional stuff happening in so many lives in our body. So much anguish, so much, can I go on? So much just confusion about life. And I want to point to Psalm 22 because there's so much anguish there that Jesus, I think, is pointing to on the cross. A lot of the emotions, even as we've gathered tonight, a lot of these emotions are true for us. So I want to find good news in the midst of this. So Psalm 22, Tom read part of that. Let me read the entire psalm for you. Psalm 22. And remember, Jesus, this is the part where he said that crazy thing on the cross because it's actually printed for us in the other language, right? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. I sound like R.C. Sproul there. Wow. Which is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's quoting Psalm 22, or the opening verse. So here's what we read in Psalm 22. And I want us to think, the emotion that I feel coming into Good Friday is, why has God forsaken us? Don't you feel that at times? That, man, where is God in the midst of this? Has he forsaken us? And so Jesus asked that question too. Beginning in Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, and you don't answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth and from my mother's womb. You've been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You've rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. And I'll tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I'll praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. And stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. He's not hidden his face from him. But he has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I'll perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you, for kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. So there's perplexities here that emerge from Psalm 22 related to Good Friday. And one of those perplexities is that suffering is real. Suffering is real. So we're facing that. In the early centuries of the church, Cyril of Alexandria said this: "We confess that he, the Son begotten of God the Father, the only begotten God, though being incapable of suffering according to his own nature, suffered in his own flesh for our sake, according to the scriptures. And he made his own body the sufferings of his own flesh, in his crucified body impassibly, for by the grace of God and for the sake of all he tasted death, by having surrendered to it in his own body, although by nature he was life and was himself the resurrection, in order that by his ineffable power, after having trampled on the death in his own flesh first, he might become the firstborn from the dead and the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, and in order that he might prepare the way for the rise to immortality for the nature of people, by the grace of God, as we have said just now, for the sake of all he tasted death, but on the third day he came back to life after despoiling hell." I mean, it's just like, sounds like someone from the third century, right? As I'm reading it, you're like, oh, wait, what? But what he's saying is that there's something amazing happening here, that God is suffering for his people. Derek Kidner said, "No Christian can read Psalm 22 without being vividly confronted with crucifixion." And we see that in this, like in verses 3 through 5, where we have that Jesus' work is for people like us. He's enthroned on the praises of Israel. He's identifying with the suffering that we're going to face. Jesus on the cross is looking ahead and saying, my people are going to be a suffering people. And so I'm going to identify, I'm going to step into this. In verses 6 through 8, Jesus is bearing the totality of humanity's rebellion against God. So he's saying things like, I'm a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. You know, he's enduring all this for us. He's embracing all the suffering that we could face and all the rebellion we have against God. Jesus is bearing that on the cross. And then in verse 9 and 10, he calls to mind his mother, right? That it was you who took me from the womb, made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you I was cast from birth, and from my mother's womb you've been my God. I mean, he's just thinking that even from the youngest age, all the sufferings that he endured. So you kids that are running around the room, this is just how Jesus was. He was running around the room and banging into things, and we were hearing the yelp of, ow, my arm, and his mother was there to scoop him up and love him. He even knows sufferings like that. And I think for you teenagers, all the sufferings you're going through, Jesus knew that. He knew sufferings like that. This is who he is. He's acquainted with grief. So Jesus' death on the cross is pointing us to this reality that suffering is real, and I'm going to step into that suffering. The Bible tells us that he was tempted in all ways as us, yet without sin. So when we feel that rebellion, when we feel that God can't be trusted, Jesus has already stepped into that. He's already stepped into that suffering. He stepped into that disappointment. He stepped into that rebellion. And he stepped into all the regret we feel, even when we blow it. Jesus has borne all that in his body on the tree. And he's saying to us as his people, I get you. I get you. There's another perplexity in this psalm, as God seems far away. I mean, Jesus is the one being cursed here. God seems far away. In that middle section in verses 12 to 22, that's really the lament of the psalm. And it showcases all of humanity's rejection of Jesus. So in verses 14 and 15, Jesus is experiencing the dust of death. You know, those are those final words, is you've come from dust, until dust you shall return. And Jesus is experiencing that on the cross. And then like in verses 19 to 21, we have this confidence that you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. I mean, Jesus is crying this out to his Father, and the Father's saying, no, not now. He's turning his ear to be quiet and not listen to his Son. So Jesus is praying that God is praying to God. He's praying the prayer that we would pray. And he's getting, like, heaven's closed. He's getting that for us so that we can be saved. And again, I think Jesus is pointing to this psalm and saying that there's going to be times where we feel like God's far away, where he's not answering, that like we're knocking and the door's not being opened, that we're crying out to him and he's not close. And Jesus is saying, yeah, I get that. I went there on the cross. I endured that. Which leads to the third perplexity, is somehow all of this suffering and all this distance from God is turning people to praise. The psalm ends with all this weird language of praising, like in verses 23 and following, all the different kinds of people praising God and showing how God deals with wicked people like us. So, like verse 26, the afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. Those who stand, we stand in awe of him. He's rescuing us. He's coming to the help of the affliction of the afflicted. In other words, it's almost emphatic, like, I know you're messed up. I know you're broken. I know you're beaten down. I know there's things that you feel as you relate to God. I know there's things as you walk through life that you're going to feel abandoned, and my Son's going to redeem this. That's what God's saying through David. Jesus is going to go here for us so that all peoples can praise you. That's going to be the result of this. Here's how Dane Orland put it. We know that there was only one member of God's people who was ever truly forsaken by God. And for that reason, as he was hanging on a Roman cross, he spoke David's own words. My God, why have you forsaken me? For indeed, God had forsaken him. And why? So that we are never forsaken, despite our deserving to be. Oh man, isn't that incredible? That we are the ones who deserve affliction. Like the thief said to Jesus on the cross, right? You don't deserve to be here. We do. We're criminals. What are you talking about? And Jesus is saying to him, yes, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Like, this is the affliction that we are the ones who should be afflicted. We are the ones who should be on the cross, and he's going there for us. He's being forsaken by God so that we can be saved. And so this is the message of Good Friday, that no matter how far we've run, no matter how far God feels from us, no matter the depth of suffering that we're experiencing, Jesus has gone even deeper. He has plunged the depths, and he has paid for all of this with his blood. He's gone into the depths. You say, well, you just don't know the emotion I feel. It can't be any more than the emotion Jesus felt on the cross being forsaken by his Father. He's been there. He gets it. I may not get it, but he does. He's been there and he gets it. And so because of that, sin's curse is broken. Our guilt is extinguished. Shame has evaporated. We are his because of Jesus Christ our Lord, because he was forsaken for us. So tonight we come, just as this psalm ends, to praise God for this. So team, if you want to go ahead and get in place for our final song. We come to praise God for this. We want to glorify and enjoy him forever. We don't want this to be just a moment. We're going to glorify and enjoy him forever for this. And I hope that we can know this deeper. I hope it drives you to want others to know this good news. And so let's just finish with some stillness. And maybe just in your heart, could you find the words to say thank you to Jesus for what he's done? Could you say to him, there's none like you. What a wonderful Savior you are. There is no one like me. There is no one who gets me like you do. Trust you. Can't believe you would save me. So let's thank him for what he's done.